Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for being here with your mama. Amen. Happy.
We love her.
I know you do. Happy Mother's Day. Now, hey, these are different flavors.
I got peach.
Are you good with that? Because
oh, yeah.
I'm not asking nobody. I'm just reaching and grabbing. It's the luck of the draw. Amen. The luck of the draw. If we have any left over, I'll put the basket in the back. Germ mix your hands before you go rifling around in there, though, right? Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
You good? Good? Oh, check her out. See? Yeah. El Sanitary. All right. Very good. Very good. All right. Coming to you, man. Coming to you. Hey, good to see you. All right. Happy Mother's Day. All right. None for you. There's one. All right. Amen.
El Sanitary.
Guys are here supporting.
All right. Very good.
Happy Mother's Day. Good to see y'all. Looky here. Looky here. Happy Mother's Day. All right. There you go, Mom. Very good. Yeah. Don't eat that now. That's not to eat. All right. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you. All right. Coming this way. Happy Mother's Day. How you doing? Good. All right. Very good. Very good. All right. Happy Mother's Day. How's school going? Good. Amen. No more mamas? Okay. Got some pet mamas, but not real mamas. Happy Mother's Day. It's not yours. Not yours, Fred. It's hers. It's Ann's.
Is this for
you? No, it is Germex. But it's from a specialty place. Amen. Happy Mother's
Thank
Day.
You.
Happy Mother's
Thank
Day.
You, sir.
Happy Mother's Day. There you go.
Yeah.
Did I get all the mamas? Okay, now. Now you got to do this for me, right? If you don't like your flavor, right? Don't take two squirts out of it and say, I don't like it, right? You just kind of smell it. If you don't like it, the basket will be on the back next to the giant Germex bottle. Clean your hands and Germex and then go fishing around if you want another flavor, all right? Amen? Y'all ready for some birthdays?
Amen.
All right, we're going to do the birthdays. Brother Ronnie, how you doing, brother? All right. You doing okay? All right. How about some happy birthday? I think we got a few today. Can you tell I'm stalling? Tell I'm stalling to start service? We got one of our sound people had a little issue this morning, so we're trying to get her here so we can get going. Okay, birthdays. Birthday. Are we recording? You got it? Okay. Very good. All right, our first birthday is going to be Tuesday. Has anybody seen Crystal Martin in a while? Crystal Martin. Anybody? Hadn't seen her. Well, Crystal, if for whatever chance you're watching us online, happy birthday, girl. Her birthday is on Tuesday, May the 11th. Let's see here. Krista Hess. Krista, okay? As far as you know, okay. Krista Hess. Good morning, my friend. Wednesday is her birthday, okay, 5/12. And then 5/13, one of our sweet senior adult ladies, kind of struggles, can't get around like she used to, Miss Virginia Harris. Y'all remember her? Amen. Her birthday is going to be Thursday, 5/13. All right, y'all want to sing some happy birthday? All right, yeah, what you got, brother? Brett, yours is the last Wednesday. Well, happy birthday, Brett. How old are you? 26. Okay, all right. Well, very good. You ready to sing some birthdays, brother? All right, go for it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, amen. And many more. That's right, on Channel 4 and all that good stuff. We have any testimonies? You want to say an encouraging word about mom? Or moms, you want to... Okay, yes, sir. Stand up right there where you're at. Uh-huh. Okay. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. All right, it's going to get tearjerker in here. I can already feel it. I can already feel it. All right. Other testimonies? You want to say a word about your mom, or maybe your mom has passed. She's with the Lord, or you want to share a testimony about that? Whatever the Lord will lead. Yes, ma'am, Miss Alita. Yeah, amen. You had one for sure. Yeah. Amen. Miss Aurelia. She was something else. How many kids? 9. My soul. Yes, sir, in the back. Okay. Is she watching or listening? Yeah, amen. Amen, brother. That's good. You know, that is a rarity. That doesn't happen every single situation or case. You're a blessed man for that. That means you got some peace. Amen? Right? Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Nothing like the scorn of a wound-up mother-in-law after you. You're a husband, you know what I'm talking about. All right, very good. Not that's ever happened to me. All right. Any other testimonies? Encouraging words about moms? Yes, ma'am, in the back. Amen, girl. Amen. That's good, good, good. Yes, sir, up here. Uh-huh. Okay. Way to go. Justin, how about that? Amen. Thank you, Mom. Are you going in the Air Force? Okay. Air Force. How many we got any Air Force vets in here? One right there. Okay. Daddy was. Okay. Outstanding. Very good. Another Air Force vet? Air Force? All right, way to go. All right. Air Force. Are they starting Space Force? I don't know. Hey, tell Miss Terry to get her some smell good in that basket. Miss Terry, smell good. Happy Mother's Day, girl. All right, there she is. There you go. Now just grab one. You can't have them all. All right. Last person gets all of them. No, just get one. All right, yes, sir. You step up and say it. All right. Amen. That's a good testimony, right? Amen. That's a good testimony. Miss Terry, we're taking encouraging words and testimonies about our moms. Do you have anything to share about your mom? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Hey, your mom's been a Christian a long, long time, right? Yeah, been faithful over at First Baptist Tomball for ever and a day. You got a good example. Amen. All right, in the back. Wow. You're from a family of 11? where Where in 11 did you fall? What? You was the middle. Oh, you are crazy. Yeah. 5 older brothers. And Miss Alita, you were in the middle, right? Yeah, I'm telling you what, man. Middle kids, big families, look out. Man, they get the leftovers, don't they? Right? You get the leftovers coming and going. They spent all the money on the first set, right? And then you're wearing hand-me-downs, right? You know, out of style. Hand-me-downs out of style. We had a family of three boys living next door to us when I grew up in Duncanville, and we were of meager means, and so I would get a hand-me-down. So I was wearing, they're in style now. I guess they're going back out of style, but I was wearing low-rise bell-bottoms when it wasn't cool. And I was the oldest, so I got a little bit of that middle child thing. I guess that's why I'm, hip huggers, man. I was like, why can't I get these pants pulled? All right, brother, you ready to start? Let's do it. Yes, sir, one more. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Amen. That's right. That's right. Yeah, amen. Well, let's give the Lord a hand for moms. Amen. All right. All right, without any further ado, let's all stand. We're going to start our worship time this morning.
Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I of salvation. conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Alleluia, alleluia. Hearts to heaven and voices raise. Sing to God a hymn of gladness. Sing to God a hymn of praise. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Alleluia.
Amen.
Tremble. at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. sound his praises. Jesus, who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Amen. Holy Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clean. Let sunshine fill its inmost part with not a cloud between. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. My stubborn will subdue. Teach me in words of living flame what Christ would have me do. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine. Kindle a flame of love and zeal within this heart of mine. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Till I am all thine own, until my will is lost in thine, to live for thee all alone. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Amen.
All right, thank you, brother. Outstanding. Good singing today. Amen. Way to go. Way to go, way to go. All right, we doing children's church? What's the word? We doing it? Okay, all right. Let the children's church be free. Be free, be free. Outstanding, very good. All right. Miss Loopy, did you get one of our little hand sanitizers for Mother's Day? Okay, on the way out, there's a basket. There's a basket out there. Just please take one. All right. And that'll be great. Okay, happy Mother's Day. All right. Brother, you killing me. You got a key? Okay. I don't have much cold air up here, and you're letting it all go. You're letting it all go, Bobby Coons. And I thought that door be shut, brother. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew, you ought to be feeling about right because I'm about to break a sweat right now. So if I'm about to break a sweat, you might be pretty comfortable. Everybody good? It's good. All right. All right. We'll leave it alone. All right. I'll sweat. I'll get cleaned up. Don't worry about it. Man, I took me a shower. I took me a bath this morning. I'll take one tonight. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 10. I'll invite you to turn to Matthew 10. We'll begin reading here in verse 34. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 34. We'll take it through verse 39 this morning. Matthew 10, 34. Matthew 10, 34. And we'll take it through verse 39. If you've had an opportunity to find that, would you say amen? Amen. All right, let's take a brief moment to welcome those watching us online. Those of you online with us, good morning. Moms watching us online, happy Mother's Day. And we will probably have some extras of our hand sanitizer handouts. So come see us next Sunday. Still have plenty of room to social distance. We'd love to have you back with us. We understand, though, if you're going to continue watching online with us, welcome. Hope you enjoy this time with us this morning. All right, Matthew 10, beginning in verse 34, the Word of God reads this. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. Now that's tough here, right here at Mother's Day, but we'll explain all this. A mother against, or daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. And Lord, the potency of it, Lord, the power of it, Lord, how you, the Holy Spirit takes it and uses it to wash us and to steer us and to convict us and to help us and to work us, Lord, into the image of Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom, that we can gather in your name this morning, that we can worship you, Lord, as the Bible puts forth, that we come together in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we're seeking to do that, and we know that you're in our midst, and we praise you and thank you for this. And Lord, we pray that you have your way with us, and that, Lord, you mold us and make us into a body of believers that will take the truth outside of these four walls. Lord, help us love you. Help us make that love for you our top foremost priority in our lives above everything, anything above our lives, our very existence itself. We thank you for our salvation today, Lord. We pray for those that need to make decisions for Christ. Father God, I pray that this service, this time together, would move somebody in our midst or move somebody watching online, would move them another step closer to receiving Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you that you are still in the business, that we still can have grace, that we're in the midst of this church age, and you are still saving souls for your kingdom. We praise you and we thank you for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now we continue on in chapter 10 of Matthew's gospel. What's going on here? Jesus was speaking to his disciples, speaking to his apostles. He was about to send them out to proclaim his gospel and his coming kingdom in the cities, in the regions, in the areas where he is going to go himself and preach. And so he's kind of softening up the ground, so to speak. Before they went, he gave them many instructions. It wasn't just a short list. I mean, he really gave them the load of information, the load of instructions, what to look out for, the warnings, everything that would help them as they went. And in speaking to them, his focus clearly expands beyond just the 12, beyond just his disciples, beyond just his apostles. As he speaks to them, and we're reading it today, realize this morning that the Holy Spirit, through the inerrant Word of God, seeks to speak to all of us. We are His ambassadors in this world. Whether you want to admit that or not, whether you agree with that or not, we are His ambassadors in this world. So with that said, He lets us know what kind of world we're living in, what kind of world He sends us out into, and that we are being sent as sheep in the midst of wolves, and that people will hate us for His sake. He lets us know that there will be times when His followers will suffer at the hands of people for their connection to Him, sometimes being arrested, sometimes being dragged before the authorities. Even sometimes we will be driven from one place to another place because of our love for Jesus. And yes, even sometimes we will even be put to death for our faith, for the cause of Christ, and for His coming kingdom. You say, preacher, that's not going on here. It's going on in many parts of the world today. The things I just gave you, that is literally going on in parts of the world today. With that said, He also commands us to what? To not be fearful. He says, don't be afraid. He tells us not to fear those who can kill our bodies, but cannot kill our souls. He tells us to remember confidently that our Heavenly Father watches us and values us greatly. Oh, friend, you are part of the team. Man, He has put you here for a purpose, a reason. I mean, God is sovereign. There are no accidents here today. I'm telling you, you are here and you have value in His eyes, and He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. And friend, if you're saved today, He keeps you for all eternity. There's nothing that can remove you from His hand. He loves you, values you, and He watches you. So He commands us. He commands us to faithfully profess Him before people. Faithfully do it. Promising that if we do profess Him before people, then what, church? Then He will profess us before His Father in heaven one day. We won't be at the white throne judgment. No, we'll find ourselves at the Bema seat, that judgment. And that's going to be a glorious time, a blessed time. Right? Amen? And so as we come to this morning's passage, these verses that we read, verses 34 through 39, we find yet another reality check, another gut check, if you will, in terms of what following Him will require of us. Jesus mentions no words here. He clears up any delusions we might have about following Him. There's no doubt about what it takes to follow Jesus. And he makes sure that we understand in advance, that the pathway to discipleship is not the pathway of the easy life. We're not talking about easy here. This is not that commercial where there's the easy button, right? No easy button here. This is all kind of just struggle. This is all kind of just, well, hold on and go through. This is all just kind of, well, I'm gonna crawl on my knees in prayer and be in the midst of the Word of God, and I'm gonna work my way through this. Amen. I'm gonna work my way through this. What we're talking about is a lot like motherhood. You know what I mean? If you're thinking about one day being a mom, those of you online, those of you young ladies here with us today that aren't moms, if you're looking for easy, you need not apply to motherhood. You need not apply to motherhood. We're talking about difficult things, friend. Difficult things. Are you with me so far? A difficulty in discipleship, right? Right? And let me just say to the moms this morning, You know, it's Mother's Day, and you know there's a fine line between we don't want to worship Mom, but we sure want to give Mom her due. Amen. We don't want to ignore Mom. We don't want to worship Mom. We want to love Mom. Amen. Love Mom more than Jesus? No. We don't love anything more than Jesus, right? Jesus is the top love, right? And let me just say for the mothers, thank you for being a mom. Thank you for doing your best. But one of the greatest lessons you can ever teach your children, one of the greatest lessons you can ever hand down to your grandchildren, one of the greatest lessons to model before your husband, one of the greatest lessons in your life as a Christian, as a saved soul, one of the greatest lessons is to let people know, your family, those closest to you, that you love Jesus more than anything else, more than life itself. You love Christ. That's kind of where the rubber hits the road, you know? Because you hold those little babies, you carry those little babies inside your bodies, and then you hold those little babies, and then you change those little babies. I mean, you're with those little babies so much time. I mean, when they're just getting their little lives going, your mom is right there. She's just right there. That's where the rubber hits the road, right? Our love for Christ, our love for Jesus has to be even greater, has to be greater than that love that we have for our kids or our grandkids, right? Right? Now, hey, we're going to be perfect in this? We can try, though. We can try. We're going to fail struggle in this? Yeah, you're going to fail struggle in this. What do? Friend, you just get back up on the proverbial horse, right? You realize where you're wrong. You confess your sin. Lord, I've been worshiping this family member. I've been worshiping this relationship. I've been worshiping this. And I've not been worshiping you like I should, right? So, making sense? Amen? Kind of heavy, preacher, for Mother's Day. Well, hey, man, you're getting food, all right? You're getting food. So it kind of all balances out in the end. Think about the payout at the end. You're getting some food, all right? So let us consider what we want to do is consider the high demand of His love, the high demand, the high calling of loving Him in the key areas of our lives as that demand is laid out for us in this passage this morning. Three things about this passage. Number one, we are to love Jesus more than peace itself. We are to love Jesus more than peace, right? Now, I tell you, that's hard for me. I'm down to just a couple kids, right? One's about to get married. Whew, I can't wait to cut them purse strings, man. Gonna be like a pay raise. Amen. Cha-ching. Amen. I think I'm gonna eat out. I think I'm gonna go have something out to eat. Amen. Give me a steak, right? And then I have visions of Trevor running a bank one day. Trevor's gone into banking. And that'll be the day when Trevor moves out. Cha-ching. Amen. And then just Olivia, she's going to get ready to go to school, go to college. She'll still be on the purse strings, but she'll be out of sight, out of mind for a while. Amen? And then there's Lilybit, right? The goose. Still here. Amen? And I'll be honest with you, I'm about half worn out. And Lily's how old? 14, man. Don't be cutting her short. She's 14 going on 15. And so she's got another 6 years or so. I'll be honest with you, I kind of like a peaceful household. But friend, you got to chunk that and do what's biblical. You got to chunk that and do what's spiritual. You got to chunk that and be for Christ. It's tough. It's tough. I'm telling you, we are to love Jesus more than peace. Look at verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. Now, you'll remember, hopefully you remember your gospel enough, you'll remember that the angels announced to the world concerning Jesus' birth. Remember what they announced in Luke 2:14? Glory to God in the highest. That's what they said. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. You'll also remember, hopefully you remember your Old Testament a little bit. Your Old Testament tells us that Jesus will be called, among other things, Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. So do we have a dichotomy in Scripture, Pastor? Is there something confusing going on here? What is this? What does he mean here when he tells us not to think that he came to bring peace on the earth? Well, his coming into this world results in ultimate peace. Say that with me. Ultimate peace. One more time. Ultimate peace. His coming results in ultimate peace, but that peace will come in the long term. The long term at His second coming. Amen? You believe Jesus is coming back? I mean, you're not one of those Jesus came once people, are you? Jesus says in the Word of God, He's coming back. That'd be His second advent, second coming. You with me on that? When He comes back the second time, that's when that Prince of Peace jazz is going to happen, right? That's when all that long-term peace stuff. Here in this passage, he is speaking in the short term of our experience as his ambassadors to the unsaved people in this world. And that experience will sometimes be, even in your own household, not peaceful. Not peaceful, right? In fact, he says our experience as his ambassadors will be characterized by conflict, not peaceful. Jesus says that his coming brings about division at the most fundamental level of human relationships. What's Jesus doing here? Well, Jesus doing, he's quoting the Word. Jesus, the very Word, is quoting the Word from the Old Testament. Old Testament prophet Micah. Micah 7:6 is what he's quoting. Jesus quotes Micah 7:6. Micah 7:6 reads, "For son treats father contemptuously, daughter rises up against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household." He's quoting from the Old Testament, the Word, quoting the Word. But he's also, you know what he's saying? He's given testimony. Jesus experienced this stuff we're talking about this morning. Jesus experienced it firsthand. Study of the Gospels will reveal that his own brothers at one point did not believe in him and literally opposed him. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 2 through 9. His own family thought he was out of his mind for a time and sought to initiate an intervention. Mark chapter 3, verse 21. Those folks getting this gospel after this material had been preached, getting this gospel after it had been penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, those first century Christians, those second century Christians, as this roll, this manuscript, so to speak, is rolling around from church to church, place to place, the first readers, the first hearers of this passage in the first century, they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. In the pagan households of Jesus' day, the pagan households of the first century, the life of the family centered around the worship of false gods. Centered around it. That's what everything revolved around. The worship of false gods. Every member of the family had a part in that worship. So can you imagine? Imagine if you will. Think it through for a moment. Can you imagine the divisiveness when one of the members became a follower of Jesus Christ? Somebody shared the gospel with this individual. They went to one of these makeshift worship services. They partook of the elements after they were after they were saved and baptized. I mean, they've jumped in with both feet. They're following the way. They're wanting to be a Christian. They're seeking to be discipled. Can you imagine the divisiveness? Such a person, out of devotion to the Savior, would have to denounce any relationship to the worship of any false god, no matter who worshiped that god, mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandparents. They would have to declare that they are following the true God, the one true God. And in doing so, they would be declaring to the rest of their family members that the whole family was following a false god. Or false gods, because there was certainly a lot of worship of false gods at the time. In many ancient households, this was as good as severing oneself from the family, just cutting yourself out of it, and setting oneself up as an enemy. To follow Jesus in such a situation is to experience the kind of division that he's talking about. Well, preacher, that's great history, man. That's a great history lesson. I appreciate that. Boy, I tucked that away. Next time I'm in a Bible study, I'll use that, man. I'll pull that right out. But what does that mean for me today? What is this passage? How does this truth intersect and relate to our own time here in 2021? Well, when a man or woman comes to Jesus Christ, they are what? They are immediately motivated by love to share Jesus with others in the family. A follower of Jesus wants other members of their family to become followers of Jesus. Who wants their immediate family to go burn in hell? I've never met a believer that wants that. Every believer, true believer that I've come in contact with is burdened for the salvation of at least their immediate family members. And then, you know, they go to the family reunion and they're the one trying to tell everybody how to get saved. Right? They making the rounds. Oh, good to see you, Uncle Joe. Let me tell you about Christ. Right? Good to see you, Aunt Mary. Let me tell you about the Lord. Right? Second cousin Bob. Come here, boy, have I got something for you. Begin to lay that gospel out to them, right? They themselves, the new believer, the strong believer, the wannabe disciple believer, they themselves no longer follow the path of the rest of the family, right? They're not following the path of floating the keg, man. They're not following the path of doping it up. They're not following the path of worshiping themselves or worshiping leisure or worshiping whatever. They're not following that path anymore. They're following the path of the Lord. And they want to call their loved ones out of the life of sin and out of the darkness which their loved ones are so accustomed to, and they want them to become devoted to the Savior as they themselves have become. And that kind of zealous, Jesus freakish, weirdo for the Lord, that kind of zealous love for the salvation of others, that often brings about resentment. It often brings about bitterness. It often brings about division, right? That second family reunion comes and, you know, you start walking up with your glass of tea or your bottle of water. And everybody starts turning the other way, right? They've heard that spiel. They don't want to go through that anymore. But you just keep cornering them, right? Catch them at the end of the line, right? Catch them near the restroom, right? You just keep cornering them, right? The fact is that the kind of peace, don't miss this. I hope you don't miss this. The fact is that the kind of peace that Jesus will ultimately bring about first requires conflict. First requires conflict. This peace requires a decision from us that results in division. And this decision will even result in division from those who are closest to us and mean the most to us. Following Jesus will potentially, doesn't happen every situation, every circumstance. There are certainly, some deviation from this, but following Jesus will potentially, possibly, take away our short-term peace. It will take away. See, He offers us, the good Lord above offers us, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, He offers us eternal peace. Eternal peace, church. That's a long-term peace. Does that make sense? That's a long-term peace. But that eternal peace will cost us our short-term peace. He demands, Jesus Christ demands that we love Him more than we love peace. More than we love peace. And He calls us to make a decision. Now, I want to say it was, I know for sure, it was April the 20th. This is May, right? Yeah, it's Mother's Day, right? Amen. Wake up, preacher. It's Mother's Day. Get with the program. All right. April the 29th, about 4 a.m. in the morning, there was a couple. They were leaving a local bar, Southeast Houston. And they proceeded while they were driving around Howard Street. Well, she decided to get in his business. And so she began to argue, pick a fight, browbeat, get things, dig things up. She wanted to have her a good old in the car fight-o-rama, right? This old boy, about 4 a.m. in the morning, he'd had enough. He didn't like to argue. He would rather, can't we just all get along, have peace? Certainly he was inebriated. Certainly he had had too much to drink. But as she was rolling down the road near Howard Street at a high rate of speed, he opened his car door and bailed out. April 29th, 4 a.m. in the morning. Of course, he hit the pavement at a high rate of speed, hit his head, and he was dead when authorities came upon the scene. We have to love Jesus. We have to love Him more than we love peace. This love for peace will cost you your life, man. You got to love Christ more than you love peace. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number two. Number two is a little short, so maybe this will help you out. We're to love Jesus more than peace, but secondly, we're to love Jesus more than the love of family. Now, that's hard to hear when you're in a family church. You know what? I mean, this is a church based on the love of family. We consider ourselves family. We talk about one another as family. We really want to love each other as the family of God. But we're to love Jesus more than the love of family. Verse 37, look at it. He who loves father or mother more than me is not, Jesus says it. I mean, it's not me saying it. Jesus says it. Is not what? Not worthy of me. That's what he says. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who, we could just add to that. I won't paraphrase it, but you could add grandkids in there. You could add whatever in there, right? Aunts and uncles. The list goes on and on, right? When it comes to our immediate family, we feel what? We feel. We've been hardwired to feel it. We feel a devotion to these family relationships. It's just hard. We feel a devotion over any other earthly thing. There's not one of my kids I wouldn't give my life for. My wife, I would give my life for her life. Right? We have this devotion to these family relationships. We say this, blood is thicker than what? What is blood thicker than? Huh? Water, yeah. Some parts of the country they say mud, right? Blood's thicker than mud, okay. I don't think so, but if you want to believe that, all right. But I know it is thicker than water. because it's got all kinds of stuff that makes it coagulate. Now you're grossing me out, preacher. All right. Blood is thicker than most everything, right? Family relations is thicker than most everything. We can let our devotion, we cannot let our devotion to our family, though. We cannot let our devotion to our family supersede our devotion to Jesus. There are churches that were, that are not anymore. Does that make sense? They's gone. Dissolved. Furniture store. Turned it into a shop. Made whatever out of it. Tore it down and rebuilt. There are churches that are no more because blood is thicker than what? Church membership. Right? And you know how it goes. Well, you my kin. You're my brother. Or you're my whatever. Or you're related to me. And so it don't matter what they say about you. You know, and you, the individual that they're saying stuff about, you, the individual that the congregation is trying to hold accountable, you, the one that's way left in sin, you, right? You need help, right? You need to get right. But your refusal to get right causes your what? Your family to surround you and take up your defense. And in the midst of that, the devil just has a heyday. The church splits, and the thing just dies, right? And the group goes off down the road because it knew this or knew that or whatever. And it's in their DNA, right? To do what? To do the same thing they just did. Why? Because blood is thicker than church membership. Because blood is thicker than water. Because blood's thicker than mud. Jesus is saying, no, no. My relationship with you, number one. Number one. Yeah, that's what Jesus is saying, right? Right? Number one. The truth is, if we are forced into a position in which we must choose between following Jesus or appeasing the objections of our family, then we must choose Jesus half the time? Well, no, preacher. Well, we must choose Jesus 75% of the time? No, preacher. We must choose Jesus 90% of the time? Preacher, we got to choose Jesus all the time. We got to choose Him all the time. If we do, if we choose our family over Christ, He says, not Pastor Lee, He says that we're not worthy of Him. We're not worthy of Him. Our love for Him must be so complete. Our love for Christ must be so supreme that our love for Him makes any other love look less. Look less. Even the natural love we would feel toward our father or our mother or son or daughter. Number three, if you're still with me, we're to love Jesus more than peace. We're to love Jesus more than what? More than the love of family. And number three, and boy, this is where it really gets difficult. Ooh, it gets difficult here. Gets warm. My goodness, you're going to want some AC after this. We are to love Jesus more than self. More than self. Well, preacher, it just got hard, man. It just got difficult. Yeah, we just ratcheted up one more notch. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, it's tight. It's tight now. I don't know if I can withstand it. You can withstand it. Hang in there. 38, 39. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me, his words again, not mine, is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. We'll find it. In understanding Jesus' words, this is kind of difficult for me to communicate this to you because we are 2,000 plus years outside of Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Jesus is making intercession for us right now as we go through this, by the way. But this is hard for me to get you to see this from a pre-crucifixion time. But this is where we're at in the passage. In understanding Jesus' words, you cannot think of the cross in the same way that we are accustomed to thinking of the cross. You've got to take that and set it aside for a moment. We think of the cross in the church age. We think of the cross in Christianity. We tend to look upon the cross as a symbol. I mean, we wear it around our necks. We put it up on our walls. We tend to think of the cross as a symbol of God's redeeming love, which it is. God's redeeming love and His atoning sacrifice, which is what it represents. But that had not happened when Jesus said this. That had not happened. Jesus knew He was going to the cross. I believe Jesus knew He would carry His cross. But that had not happened. And the men He's with, that's not quite clicking with them yet. In His day, in Jesus' day, in the first century before His crucifixion, in His day, the cross would be understood as the wooden construction on which a crucifixion occurred. Crucifixions were something that the people in Roman culture saw often. Crucifixions were the most grotesque, the most humiliating form of execution imaginable. When a particularly notorious criminal was condemned to die, they were condemned to be executed by the miserable, inhumane method of crucifixion. And as a visible symbol of their shame, to add insult to injury, they were even made to carry their own instrument of death on their back to the place of their execution. Whenever someone took up the cross and began to walk up the hill, everyone knew that that brother or sister is already dead. They've already died. It is a done deal. We're watching their death throes as they carry that thing up that hill to be nailed to it. They're not coming back. They're finished. It's over. Taking the cross up meant death. And that was the way Jesus meant for His disciples, His apostles, to understand these words. And consequently, how we are to understand these words as well. Whoever does not take up their own cross, which is the instrument of their own death to self, whoever doesn't do that and follow after Him, His words, is not worthy of Him. This love for self, is the hardest love of all for sinful people to place in the hand of Jesus. Oh, preacher, yeah, okay, I can hand over my love for peace. I can give that to Christ. Preacher, it's hard, but I can hand over that love for family and love You more. But love for self? Oh, can I hold on? No! We tussle, we wrestle back with that one. Difficult, isn't it? Amen? And yet Jesus demands to be loved by us even more than we love our own lives. More than we love our own lives. Our decision to place our love for Him over our love for our own lives is the most, listen to me, it is the, you got to get this, it's the most defining decision you'll ever make in your life. When you can finally place that one in His hand. The most defining that you'll ever make in your life. We can be sure that He means for us to see by these words that if we are made to choose between denying Him and living or confessing Him and dying, we are to choose to love Him and die. But do not miss the practical application as well. If our ambition is to pursue the advancement of our own brief life on this earth, our own pleasures, our own comfort, our own leisure, our own desires, and we place those ambitions, those desires above the cost of following Jesus, Don't miss this today. Jesus, then, by that very act, we lose the very life we are seeking to hang on to. You say, I can't lose my salvation. That's correct. You give evidence that you never had it in the first place. You give evidence that you never had eternal life in the first place. Oh, you were religious. You played a good game. You looked like a believer. You had me fooled. But I'm not the one going to be sitting on the bema one day. I'm going to be down there with you. Fooling me is, whoop, whoop, who cares? Fool the preacher. One more son, he thinks I'm a believer. Friend, I'm not going to be judging you one day. But the Savior at the bema seat, or the Savior at the white throne, he's going to be deciding, right? His decision. You better hope. You better hope and pray that your salvation is more than a religious experience. That your salvation, you really meant business. That your salvation, you really were convicted by the person of the Holy Spirit that you were a sinner. And that you confessed your sin and received Him as your Savior. Amen. We may have a very nice, comfortable, natural life, but we lose eternity. I want to tell you, that's a bad exchange. That is a bad exchange. This life is like a vapor. I'm 53. My dad's at the end of his run, man. He's had a good little old run, old Bobby Jack. Good little run. Good little run. I want to tell you, man, it's not how much money at the end you have. It's not how much you possess. Friend, it's how far you go with Jesus. I want to tell you, little Bobby Jack, or big Bobby Jack. One time he was big Bobby Jack. Big old hands on that guy, big old feet. He'd get a hold of you, you know you'd gotten a hold of. Oh, man, Bobby Jack, he started out such meager means, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. His daddy, my granddaddy, was an abusive drunk, molested him. And Bobby Jack, friend, he got saved. Jesus came into his life. You know what they say about people who are victims? They often pass that victimization on to their children. The only thing my dad may have done to me inappropriately was bending me over and whipping me with a belt. He always told me he loved me, always hugged me, and kissed me in the most appropriate father-son relations. Nothing ever inappropriate from Bobby Jack. And here he is at the end. And you know what old Bob has done? Bob gave up his life a long time ago to Christ. He's been nothing but a servant. He's been nothing but a rock for everybody else. And in the midst of that, he has found his life. Now, you get to meet Bobby Jack one day. You're on the other side. You're in glory. I'd like to say, well, you know, hey, one day he's going to walk in those doors. His health has been in decline for a long, long time. Bedridden, COVID bedridden right now from COVID. So, making sense? You lose it, you gain it. You try to keep it, hold on to it, you never had it. You lose it. Amen? If we make it our ambition to pursue the kingdom of Jesus, if we make it our ambition to pursue Christ above all else, if we place our love for the Savior above the love of even a comfortable life on earth, then we gain the very thing that we give up, life. We gain it. In fact, we gain life eternal. And whoever lays down a temporal life for Jesus in order to gain the eternal with Jesus has made the wisest possible choice. The wisest. Heavy, isn't it? Heavy passage? Weighty, man. Meaty. I mean, just oozing with all kinds of truth and consequential reality and all of those things. Let me ask you the question as we close out. Is Jesus asking too much from us? Is he? Is Jesus asking too much from us? No, he's not, is he? What? How does he have the right? How can he do this? How can he say these things to us? Jesus gave all he had to pay a debt he did not owe. And me, you, us, we owed a debt we could not pay. It's hard to wrap your head around, isn't it? I mean, I pride myself on paying my debts, right? I signed for a car, signed for a house, signed for a credit card. I'm going to do what? I'm going to pay my debt, right? Why do I pay my debt? My dad told me, pay your debts. Pay your debts. If you got more month at the end of your money, get rid of some of your month and pay your debt. This is your debt. You signed on the dotted line. I'll never forget. First car I bought, Toyota truck. I said, Dad, co-sign for me? He said, no. Pay your debt. I went back to the salesman. I said, I got no co-signer. He goes, okay. I go, what's that going to do to me? It's going to raise your payment quite a bit. How much? He showed me. I was like, whoa, why is that so high? Friend, you got no credit. One of the best lessons my dad ever taught me, right? Pay your debt. But when it comes to this, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to getting back to God, I cannot pay that debt. I'm not perfect. I've sinned. I messed it up a long time ago. I still struggle with my flesh. I'm still a sinner today, trying to be better, trying to be more like Christ, trying to grow in the Word, trying to pray more, all of those things like you are. But to know that you can't ever pay the, I can't ever pay the debt. But he gladly paid it for me. He wasn't kind of like, well, I guess I'm going to pay it. No, he gladly went. For the joy set before him, he went and died on the cross. So is he asking too much? I don't think he's asking too much. I think he's asking exactly what he ought to be asking, or demanding exactly what he's demanding, that we put him first. Friend, when God the Father turned his back on his Son on Calvary's cross, and Jesus became my sin and your sin, we were on his mind, friend. Jesus put us first, did he not? When he felt the weight and the intensity, my soul, when he felt the weight and intensity pushing down on his physical body, when he felt the emotional strain, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, we put you on your back, or we put you on your chest, and we just, you know, I just climb on top of you. I don't weigh a lot. But we just climb on top of you, and you try to struggle and get out from underneath me, and I ain't going nowhere. And you say what? I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Okay. You can't breathe. Well, I'm not going anywhere. Don't you want to carry my weight on your back, on your chest? Let me up. Jesus took it. The weight of all humanity's sin focused right there on one person. At that one moment, that rent in time, he withstood it. He endured it. He became our sin. His Father turned his back. He died a sinner. So that me and you wouldn't have to die a sinner. I don't think he's asking too much of us. I think he's asking exactly what he ought to be asking for. He put us first. We ought to do what? Put him first. Amen? And so let me close it out with you, moms. You want to be the best mom you can be to your kids? You want to be the best grandmama you can be to your kids? You want to get your loves in order. You want to get your loves in order. You're to love Jesus more than peace. We are to love Jesus more than the love of family. We are to love Jesus more than self. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you for opportunities, Lord, to grow closer to you and to have our minds awakened to the truth and to have an opportunity, Lord, to repent and confess and make amends, Lord, and get back to square one. And Father God, we just pray this morning. If there's anyone here in the service with us, anybody watching online, and Lord, they know they need to make a change here. They know they need to make some confession here, God. Lord, I pray that they would do that. They would get their hearts right. They would get back on track with you, Lord. They would confess and repent, and Lord, just seek your face and experience your forgiveness and your grace. And Lord, they would feel the freshness of a renewed relationship, and they would feel the burden lifted. They would feel the shame gone and the guilt dissipate and all of those things, God. Lord, help them do it. Help them get right. Or there may be someone here today or listening online that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray at the conclusion of this service, those that are in attendance, Lord, let them seek me out or seek Brother Ronnie or Brother James or one of our Sunday school teachers, Lord, and just let them inquire. Lord, let them find Brother Marco. Let them inquire what it means to be saved. We don't want to see anybody leave here today lost without Christ. Others watching online, Lord, they may be struggling with their salvation. Folks watching this, not today, but maybe a week, a month, a year from now, under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, Father God, I pray they'd reach out to somebody. Reach out to myself, reach out to another Christian, another church, and seek what it means to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. We thank you for this high standard that you place before us. And we know that only with your Holy Spirit within us can we do this. This is not of our flesh. This is only by the Spirit of God in us. So, Lord, I pray that we would seek to be in your word and be in prayer as we seek to live this passage and to be obedient to us, be obedient to this passage. Thank you, God, for all you do for us. Thank you for how you provide for us. And, Lord, we're thankful for the moms again, and we're thankful for the fellowship that we can have to honor them and celebrate them. Not that we put them above you, but Lord, we are sure thankful for them and thankful for their service. We praise you today, Lord. We love you. Lord, we pray for just a blessed time of fellowship next door. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right. Well, let's let our visitors go first, shall we? All right. So visitors, if you're... Yes, sir, Brother Ronnie. Brother Ronnie, why don't you bless the food for us? Amen. That sounds like a plan. Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right, visitors. Y'all can lead the way visiting with us. Amen. And then, you know, we ought to let middle children go next after the visitors. Yeah. All right. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Enjoy your food. I'll see you over there in a momento. And good, good, good.